A lifetime of hard work. Children laughing in the kitchen. Family photos on a restaurant wall. A legacy that lives on. It all comes from the power of a conversation. Like the one Tommy Hall had with First Horizon Bank about taking over his father's Charleston-based restaurant business. Now the table is set for a whole new generation. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Tommy. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Extra 106.3 would like to welcome you home. This is the All Four Seasons Home Show with Jim Niarchos and Dan Watkins, only on Extra 106.3 FM.
Welcome to the All Four Seasons Home Show with your sponsor, Dan Watkins. I'm Jim Niarchos, and we want to invite you to join us every Saturday morning at 9 here right on Extra 106.3 FM and also simulcast on 1230 AM, where we bring the best businesses in Metro Atlanta that you can trust, that will help you to make a good consumer decisions, save money, and not get ripped off. And this week is no exception. We have a past guest that's been on the show before, and he's been kind enough to take the time to come back in again, Mr. DJ Feast of Joe's Automotive, because we have a love affair with our cars here in Metro Atlanta. We depend on them. We take them for granted. And when they don't work or something goes wrong, then what? Who can you trust? Well, all of us have had nightmare stories dealing with mechanics, but that's what we're here to solve today, because we've got one of the best, and he's going to give you some tips and advice how to avoid aggravation, how to take care of your car, keep it running, and a few other things he's got up his sleeve. So, DJ, welcome back to the All Four Seasons Home Show. We're proud to have you.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
For those folks who may not be familiar with you, how about giving us a short bio on yourself and how you got into the auto repair industry and the genesis of Joe's Automotive itself?
Sure. I've been in Woodstock since 1990 when we moved here, grew up there, and played golf in college, played golf for a living for about 10 years, got to travel the world on other people's dime, which was fun at the time.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah, when that ran out, I ended up starting a different business in a different industry, and luckily sold that about 7 or 8 years later, and ultimately got into the auto repair business. My father-in-law owned body shops. When I was building the other business, I did a little service riding for him, and kind of got my feet wet there, and bought Joe's about 5 years ago from a man that had started it in 2002. So it had a long, long tradition and a really good standing in the community, and a good reputation for being an honest mechanic. And the guys that worked there, one in particular, is a fantastic guy who stayed with me and is still with me. And so things have been great. It's been a great 5 years so far.
Well, it sounds like you got the magic touch.
Yeah. Well, I got good people. That's the key, right?
Well, people and the process, that's what's all about. Your team, it just means everything, especially today with all the labor issues that a lot of businesses are having. But I'd like to start off by asking you this question. What type of training? I know a lot of people think they're a mechanic. Okay, just like a lot of people think they're a painter or a carpenter or whatever. What type of training does it require to be a master mechanic?
Well, master mechanics, that's a big deal. I'm lucky to have a true one that works for me. There's 7 or 8 ASC certifications, engine, transmission, AC, there's suspension and brakes, and there's some other stuff that they have to do, but it's testing on them. Now, you can get the certification with some book smarts. I'm sure you can, but it's the true master mechanics, like I talk of, are the guys that just truly understand the systems and how the car works and how to repair them, and not just what is wrong with them, but why. And that's a big deal, to understand why. And that's actually the why is what we try to educate our customers on.
And I would think that it would take a few years and a certain amount of practical application and experience. You just couldn't sit down with a book and learn it, and you got to do it, right?
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. Hands-on. I'll take a hands-on guy with good habits over a guy with all kinds of certifications any day. Absolutely.
And how important is it for a shop to be part of the automotive associations like the ASC certified, that type of thing?
Well, I think it's important. It opens the door to some of the warranty work that we do for the aftermarket warranty companies, things like that. It's a credibility thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think it's important to have that aspect of it, so that that blue, you know, ribbon label with ASC is a little bit of you know, they give you a little bit of just
prestige or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's just a certification, validation that that would be right. Correct.
Now, we go up and down the roads, and everywhere you look, there's an auto repair shop.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of auto repair shops. What do you believe has separated Joe's Automotive, your business, from the masses?
Well,
what makes a difference, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
You know, honestly, I think there is a lot of repair shops, and anybody can fix a car. I think communication with the customer, I think the little things like floor mats in the floor, not getting grease on the cars, you know, changing the light bulbs, little things that you can do to help them and keep them on the road. Mm-hmm. We do a ton of free inspections for people where they're going on a trip. They want to do it. It's about service. And I think what happens in this industry is that mechanics and owners, they become jaded a little bit to, you know, hey, we see this every day. We're going to fix it. No big deal. I think what's lost sometimes is that for that person that's bringing that car in, it's their mode of transportation. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to lose sight of how important that is to them to get it fixed right. And so what we try to do is, you know, we try to have a great attitude every day when they come in. I want them to be upbeat. I want them to be happy when they come there because they know they're going to spend money. They don't really like it. So it's important that they have a good time. So, you know, I may give them a little bit of a hard time messing with them about something if I know them personally. I think it's important to remember everybody's name. I try to do that with everybody. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit of trust, you know, that goes in there. But communication, honesty, and just the little things that we'll do where we'll leave it better than when it came in.
Well, it sounds like you are hands-on involved there in the business every day and making sure the quality, all these things you're mentioning, stays at the optimum level.
Sure, yeah, between myself and my master mechanic, who's the foreman, my mechanic, David. I'm the service writer, basically. I'm there behind the desk. You'll see me, greet me. I answer the phones. That's the only way I know how to do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it definitely sounds like you've got attention to the level of quality, that's for sure. How important is it for a consumer to know if a mechanic has worked on their exact type of car before? There's different types of cars, different makes. I mean,
sure. Yeah, when somebody calls into a shop, it's funny. You can tell the people that may have not had to do that before, maybe had a car that was, you know, under warranty with the dealer or whatever, and now this is the first time they've had to call, and there's some apprehension there. There's some uncertainty. They don't know what to say. You know, I think the biggest thing is, you know, you call in, you tell them what kind of car you have, what kind of problem you're having. And you know, if that shop is, you know, a good shop, they're going to tell you, yes, I'm familiar with that car. We've seen that before. You know, we can do this. Or, you know, for instance, like with us, we don't do European cars. So, you know, if somebody calls in, I just, you know, frankly tell them, I'm sorry, I don't know a lot about that car. Here's where I would try, you know, and maybe give them a referral or, you know, let them know, you know, maybe someplace they could call to get a referral.
Well, that's I think that's a very honest way to do business. And, you know, we know there's a lot of different foreign cars and the Jaguars and the BMWs and all that. And they're kind of an animal unto themselves, aren't they?
Yeah, you'll see a lot of shops specialized in one specific manufacturer, you know, where we do all the imports and the Kias and the Hyundais and the, you know, the Nissans and the Toyotas and then the domestic cars. You know, you have some different data sets and some different, you know, information available to you when you specialize in them, probably stuff that you invest in, where, you know, a shop like me, we have a lot of the data that we need, 99% of the data we need. And if we don't, we'll let you know.
Now, when people are trying to, that maybe they've just moved here or they've had a bad experience with a shop and they're looking for a new shop, are references important, or what would be your advice to them when they're looking at this plethora of auto shops and they're trying to decide where to go to take their business?
We've spoke about it before. I mean, reviews are really paramount to anything. If you're looking at a shop, you know, look at their reviews on Google, look at the reviews in other places that you see on the web. And not just all the 5-star stuff, because everybody gets those, right? It's more so, I like to look at, are they calling out names? Are they, you know, talking about how great a specific person is there, or, you know, thanking them for doing it? The other thing is, when things go bad, what's that shop's response? You know, are they dismissive of it? Are they happy to handle it? You know, there's a tone set there a lot of times that you can kind of tell, well, yeah, it's a great shop until things go bad. And, you know, really what I preach to my guys is, you know, if we happen to have a situation where a part failed or a car came back, it's immediate response, positive attitude, you jump right on it. Let's figure it out. Let's see what's going on. And I think that's important. I think your response is important to do it. So Google reviews will show you that stuff. And that's a good place to start anyway.
So everybody makes mistakes, but it's how you handle them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when you call them up, you know, you can tell, in my opinion, pretty quick whether or not somebody's going to jive with you or not. You know,
whether they give a damn or not.
Right, right. Yeah, absolutely.
And now if somebody, when they come into your shop, are estimates free? I mean, how
sure.
Or inspections, I guess you call them, or whatever.
There's a lot of
talk
stuff.
Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that is free. Now, the misnomer in our industry is now with OBD2 and, you know, reading a scanner and you say, oh, well, I pulled the codes. That just tells you what the fix is. Well, to an extent it does. It tells us where to start. It gives us the right system, the right circuit, the right area to start, which saves a lot of time and labor.
Right.
You know, it is important for them to have information, though, for the customer to have information and to know what's going on. So it can be, daunting sometimes to explain to a customer that maybe thinks they know more than what they really do or whatever, where you try to, like I said, educate them on what we have to do. Here's what we're going to check. Here's what we have to do. So stuff like that is going to be charged, right, for a diagnostic fee, like a check engine light, something like that. But if we're looking at suspension or brakes, occasionally some sounds, we'll get sounds. Most of the time, that kind of stuff, we just tell them, come on in, let's figure out what it is. And there's no charge for looking at that stuff.
Well,
and that really is how it should be.
That's awesome. That's awesome, because time is money and money is time.
Right.
And Joe's Automotive, now do you find that being a local, you're technically on Highway 92 in Ackworth, right?
Correct. Yeah, well, yeah, it's
Woodstock, Ackworth.
It's Woodstock, yeah.
Yeah, Woodstock.
Right there on the border, by Bell's Ferry.
Yeah, do you find that people come farther than just right from your neighborhood to do business with you?
Oh, sure, yeah. I pull within 15 or 20 miles, to
no
be honest
kidding.
With you. Yeah,
well, that's
people...
a testimony in itself.
Right,
isn't it?
Right. I have one customer who drives down from White, Georgia.
Wow.
I have a bunch that come down from Canton and, you know, quite a few Marietta, Kennesaw, Ackworth, and then even Roswell.
Well, folks, that kind of says a lot right there, doesn't it? I mean, you know, if people come that far to Joe's Automotive, that's a mouthful right there. How important is image to your business? A clean waiting room, a neat organized shop, does that impress people?
Impress is, I'm sure it does. It gives them an impression, I think. I think it's important. I mean, I don't want to go to a place that has, you know, junk all out in the front and all over the shop and smells bad.
People are slipping on the grease.
First thing I did was redo the bathroom in mine, you know, redo the floors, redo the countertops. I think it's important when you walk in. I think it needs to be a comfortable place. For the people that do wait, you want it to be comfortable for them, you know, and a Wi-Fi ability to work while they're there, if they're waiting on a oil change or a quick brake job, when there is one, those kind of things. It's important.
Now, what happens if somebody, if like one of your regular customers, if they call you up and say, DJ, the car won't start, I don't know what's going on, or it's making a funny sound. Are you able to provide the service to go to their home and help them and get that car to your shop, or do they have to call AAA to bring it? What is the process when? Because I'm sure things like that happen.
Yeah, most shops will partner up with a tow truck company if they need it. Other ones, you know, if you have AAA, you always use them. Right. Usually, you try and guide them through any kind of thing if they can maybe jump it off or do whatever. Other than that, it's usually find a way to get it to me. If you need a tow service, here's one. If you got AAA. Get it to me. I'll get it looked at. We'll get it back to you.
Awesome. Well, listen, we're up against a break. You're listening to DJ Feast from Joe's Automotive. We're going to be right back after this short break, so don't go away. DJ's got a lot more tips for you.
This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch. With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination. And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. This is the All Four Seasons Home Show on Extra 106.3.
Welcome back to the All Four Seasons Home Show with your sponsor, Dan Watkins. I'm Jim Niarchos, and we want to thank you for tuning in, and we want to remind you to download the Extra 106.3 FM app on your smartphone to be able to stream the station anytime, anywhere. Also, all the past shows from All Four Seasons Home Show is on the Extra 106.3 FM website. We've got, you name the topic, we've done it. We've had the subject matter expert here, so there's a lot of good information there. We're also out there, our podcasts on Apple, Google, and Spotify. So don't forget to take care of that. And want to remind you, don't forget to check in the Morning Extra every morning from 6 to 9, Monday through Friday, with Tug, Rhino, Carlos, and Flounder for the news that you're not going to get anywhere else, a straight story. And also we're proud to have Neil Bortz, the talk master here on Extra 106.3 FM, and also the Kimmer, Kim Peterson. So we've got quite a bunch of power rangers here on Extra 106.3 FM, the home of Fox News Radio and Atlanta's only conservative news talk station. But back to our guest, we have an old friend and a former guest here, Mr. DJ Feast of Joe's Automotive, giving us the 411 on how to pick a repair shop and what you need to look out for and what's important and what's not. So first of all, DJ, welcome back again. And wanted to ask you about when somebody needs some repair work done, probably fairly extensive repair work, how important is a written estimate, and what would you recommend would our consumers need to look out for?
Oh, I think especially an in-depth repair. That's a really good question. In-depth repair, I mean, you want to know a ballpark of what's going to happen. Now, you know, sometimes you're opening a can of worms when you're doing a deep dive into, you know, some of the stuff and some of the new cars and all the, you know, active fuel management and variable timing and all the different things they have. It's good to have an estimate, and we obviously don't do any repairs until we do give an estimate and get it approved. The big thing is staying ahead of it when you run into issues and need additional parts or found additional problems. It's calling the customer and letting them know. And it goes back to communication with customers. I think it's just important to let them know. The last thing you want is a bill, and it's, you know, $500 different than what you got, you know,
right,
an estimate for.
Of course.
But they should be aware of it. It shouldn't be surprising, and they should be able to feel pretty comfortable that it's going to be close.
Well, you know, listening to you in the first segment and now, I can see where communication to you is paramount in educating the customer and keeping them in the loop about every aspect of what's going on, and you find that alleviates a lot of future problems, right?
A lot of stress on me too, you know.
Yeah.
Last thing I want to do is be surprised,
right?
You
right.
know, and talk sure. to a customer. So yeah, I mean, I want to be in front of it. That way, everybody's aware. There's no unknown things, you know, and that's important. And I really think that differentiates good shops from bad shops.
Well, it certainly does, and it takes an extra effort. But I tell you, I think it puts Joe's Automotive at a level of professionalism that you're not going to find very often, folks. RepairPal.com is an online car repair estimator tool. Can these type of online tools open a consumer's eyes to the real cost of repairs, or are they just confuse the issue unintentionally?
Well, that's another good question. I get a lot of stuff. I think customers are more knowledgeable, more aware of things, and I think, you know, it's probably not a bad idea for them to have some ammo when they're calling a shop. You know, the difference in maybe an estimate from online like that, where it gives you average repair cost, there's sometimes a big discrepancy in terms of what parts that a shop will use. So, for instance, we do a lot of parts that are OE parts, original equipment parts, versus other shops will use a lot of stuff from, you know, some of the parts houses that have aftermarket stuff that's in-house brands that may or may not work. So, you know, my thing is we tell people, hey, look, we're not the cheapest, we're not the most expensive, But we're going to put the right part on because we don't want to see you back for the same problem.
Right.
I think most shops that are good shops and have good do good business do the same thing. I don't think we're unique in that aspect, but I think it's important for people to understand what an average cost of repair is before they go in. They need to have the budget. The shop needs to know they have the budget. And I think people, you know, help them understand when they do come in what kind of labor is entailed in this. And if it's a heater core in the back of a dash and we got to take the entire dash off of a Chevrolet truck, you know, that's a 10-hour job.
Yeah,
that's a $900 labor job. Do you really want me to put a $50 part in, or do you want me to put the original one in so we don't have to do this again?
Amen.
And that's the big thing.
Well said, DJ.
Yeah. but I do think the estimators are a good for what they are in terms of giving you a ballpark to know kind of what you're getting into if you're right about what repair you're needing.
Well, you know, one of the big questions I think that people always ponder is should they go to the dealership or should they go to a private auto repair shop? Now, obviously, if they're under warranty, they're probably going to be more apt to go to the dealership until their warranty runs out. But even after the warranty, I think some people have the perception, well, I have a GMC, so I got to go to the GMC dealership. Or I have a Ford, I go to the – because they work with Fords all the time. They're so familiar with it. They got the parts there, et cetera, et cetera. Is that just a perception or is that a reality?
Well, I think there's different types of consumers. I think there's some that feel more comfortable with the dealer and they are going to continue to go there. And I think there's some that realize that maybe I can do the same repair a little bit cheaper. Most independent shops labor rate is going to be less than the dealership.
Okay, so that's a fact. That's not just
we don't have the overhead they do.
Okay,
I mean, that's
okay.
I think that's just economics.
Yeah.
You know, economics of it. you can still get the OE parts and put it in. The warranty is the same. There's a lot of similarities, but some people like the way that the dealers do, where you come in and you get your 40 or 50 pages of reports of all this information and do it. As an independent, what we do, I'm limited. I don't have 150 guys working and a bunch of different people service riding. We're down to what you came in for. So we're going to prioritize what you came in for. Then we're going to go back and we're going to say, hey, look, we found these things. Maybe not important right now, but put them on your radar for later because you're going to need them. And I think that's what a lot of the independent shops do versus the dealerships that just give you the whole ball of wax right there and say, here's your, you know, $3,500 ticket.
Right,
this is what you need.
Right,
I get a lot of those calls from people that say, hey, do I really need this or that? And it's, you know, it's a difficult question to answer. But I think it's different type of people. I've had instances where people said, well, I like to have a report of everything. I said, well, okay, I can do all that. I'm happy to do all that. And that we do that as an inspection and that's fine. And I don't necessarily charge for that, but I also want to feel comfortable with what I'm telling them they're being repaired.
Right.
I think what happens with dealerships and a lot is they know the common problems of cars at certain mileages, and I think that a lot of times they'll hedge their bets and go ahead and fix those things.
Right, right.
Before. And so, you know, if somebody's in there for a problem and they're kind of stretching their budget, that makes it daunting for them.
Yes. It
makes it difficult to make a decision.
Sure, sure, absolutely. Well, you know, you've already said that there's a certain amount of your daily routine that is actually educating people, right, and communicating with people. I think a lot of people are kind of put off by how much technology has changed in the auto repair business. I mean, with the chips, and I mean, it's not our grandfather's tune-up, is it?
No,
I mean,
oh,
it's
no.
A whole different. You want to go into that a little bit, how technology
sure, sure.
has impacted things?
Well, I think the biggest impact that it's having is the economics of buying and selling cars right now, because I think a lot of people are afraid. They're purchasing cars that are very expensive. They're financing them for 5-6 years now, and they're getting into repairs in year 3 and 4 and out of warranty repairs. And that's difficult when you have a $600 car payment and you got a $1,000 repair.
Right.
And so what I'm seeing is a lot of people holding on cars. We're seeing older cars than we've ever seen, cars that are staying on the road longer and being limped along because of it. But that being said, there is upwards of – some cars have upwards of, I don't know, 70, 80, maybe more modules that are all computers, that are all – you know, communicating with one major computer, and you have, which we've had to do before, it was a module alignment. So we had to get all of them communicating together in the right order, in the right format. And there's a lot of there's a lot of things done now, which is what I was talking about before with data, that we have to be able to know, you know, in terms of electrical stuff. So car repairs are probably, if I had to guess, I'd say 85% electrical. They really are.
It's not just adjusting the carburetor or the screwdriver in the old days, right?
Yeah, that's going to be controlled by your, you know, your mass airflow, your air fuel ratios, your computer, you know, will control injectors. I mean, it's high tech, and it's been legislated. All this stuff's been legislated for fuel economy, and rightfully so, and emissions and those things, you know, to limit the greenhouse gases. But it is no longer, it's no longer, you know, get a little more gas in the carb, and let's get a little more power, and right. You know, run some straight pipes and that stuff. It takes a smart person. I mean, there's you know, cars out there now that have the grills change. You know, they move and articulate based on the amount of air they need to come in. Fans kick on at certain times. Everything's controlled by computers, and it makes it, I think, difficult for the, you know, the home mechanic, the weekender, to do some of the repairs. Right. There's data out there for them, and there's YouTube and all those things, and we get those a lot. Some people do fairly well if they're mechanically inclined, but it's always interesting when they get down a rabbit hole, and that's usually when we get a call and they say, hey, look, I could do plugs and wires or plugs and boots and coils. I can't do this.
Right.
So
right.
It's made it easier in aspects for people to diagnose cars in terms of giving us starting points and checking things. It's made it difficult for other people in terms of understanding what is going on with their car.
Well, you know, one thing I'd like to touch on and get your opinion on is the investment compared to years ago, the investment that the average auto repair shop has to make on equipment, instruments. It's not just a box of tools.
Sure. Oh, sure.
You have, I mean, talk about that a little bit so people can understand the kind of overhead investment that you have in a good repair shop.
Right. Well, start off first, individual mechanics. They buy their own tools. Mm-hmm. Guys have anywhere between $20,000 to $100,000 invested in their tools that they make payments on weekly with the tool truck or whatever. Me as a shop owner, there's a lot of things that I do buy between you know, scanners that cost $9,000 or $10,000. You know, I just reinvested last year in a brand new alignment machine and rack to go with it. Meaning what the car goes on the lift,
right.
Which is awesome because it does. You know, it'll unlock plates and it levels itself at any level, so we can do alignments and suspension work at any level. So which was a huge, you know, six figure investment to do. It's getting expensive. Everything's getting more expensive, right? So metal, cost of metal, cost of lifts, cost of labor, all that stuff's getting more expensive. So it's, you know, what you hope to see in your mechanic is some steady investment in the business so that they can stay up with the technology. Our alignment machine recalibrates a lot of the radar, you know, things that you see, the lane departure and all those things. When we do an alignment, all those things get affected. Even a windshield now, if you replace a windshield, it has to be flashed. The computer has to be flashed because it's got, usually has some type of, you know, adaptive cruise control or lane departure, which, you know, adaptive cruise control keeps you however many car lengths behind you set and whatever speed you set. You know, so it's we're moving towards full autonomy, right, on these cars, and that's where they're going. But all that stuff has to be reset. So if your shop is not reinvesting in that stuff, it's going to be difficult for them to repair your car properly. The next thing that I'm going to have to invest in, and I'm probably 4 or 5 years from it, in my opinion, is what they call ADAS systems, which is the safety systems. And that is the lane departure and everything. So I think probably 10 years from now, a lot of repairs are going to be done basically as diagnostics. We're going to be resetting sensors and resetting cameras over, you know, actually putting hard parts on cars. And so you're seeing some places in the industry that do maybe some warranty work for dealerships and things like that, get them. Body shops are having to deal with it more so than a repair shop would, like me, a mechanical shop. But, you know, things are changing. They're going to cause shops to invest. They're going to have to adapt or die.
Well,
basically,
hopefully it'll separate the wheat from the chaff, right?
Right.
Get rid of some of these shops that shouldn't be out there anyway.
Yeah, the small, the kind of some of the what we in the industry would call shade tree. I don't know if those guys are going to be able to, you know, they'll do brakes and stuff, but even the brakes now are having sensors. Right. I mean, Chevrolet trucks have sensors on their brakes like BMW's had for years.
So when people get that repair bill, they need to understand that part of that big repair bill is really being reinvested. It's not all profit margin, is it, DJ?
Yeah, right. It goes to it goes to labor rate and all that stuff. Absolutely, yeah. There's some overhead involved there.
And I would imagine that you and the insurance man are good buddies, right? You have talk about that a little bit. You guys have a lot of very expensive insurance. You have to keep up with an auto repair.
Yeah, so garage insurance, liability, and we're driving the cars on the street and we're having to do stuff. Sure, I mean that's lucky for me. My insurance person is the wife of somebody I went to high school with and a good friend of mine, and she takes good care of us. We're covered properly. All the cars are covered properly, and my guys are covered too. And that's a big part of it.
That's great. And you know, we talk about supply line chain problems. Getting these chips and stuff. So many parts come from overseas. How's that impacted your business?
Well, so it's hit me in certain aspects because we do a lot of original equipment parts, right? So when we're ordering from the dealer, they're available. The time frame of getting them is not like it used to be where they had a bunch in stock or the next day we could get some. We're having to wait, upwards of sometimes 10 days. Certain manufacturers, it seems like everything's on back order. And so we order it and hope that we can, get it. That being said, on the other side, though, from your general stuff of your brakes and your control arms and your, different mechanical things that you have and suspension-related stuff, a lot of times we can get them aftermarket, but OE stuff through the parts houses that buy from the manufacturers. For instance, like Mopar sells to one of my parts houses, AC Delco, which is GM products, sells to them, Motocraft for Ford. So we're still able to get a lot of that stuff, and I'm fortunate. Now, on the body shop side, with collision centers, from my experience, and I do a lot of alignments, corrective alignments for them, they're getting hit pretty hard. They're having trouble getting stuff where cars are taking a long time to get fixed once they've been in a collision or whatever. But, for us, our turnaround might have changed maybe, a day or so, but that's part of what we do when we talk to them. We'll tell them, here's what it needs, here's when I'm going to get it, here's when I'm going to repair it. I try to follow back up with the customer when I get the part in stock. Once I do, it kind of sets the clock on when we get it out. So we try to stay ahead of that as well. And it's been okay. It's been navigable. Yeah, I can navigate it.
Now, another part of the new normal is the labor shortage. I know from dealing with a lot of the trades, plumbing, HVAC, carpentry, electrical, young people are not going into the trades. There's not enough of them going to the trades. There's always a shortage of techs, and I would imagine that would also be impacting the mechanics.
Yeah, last article I read said the average age of a mechanic was 42 years old, and there was not a whole lot of the younger people going through.
Why do you think that is?
It's tough to say. I think that my industry in particular is probably a little bit behind in terms of wages to the employees. I try to pay my guys well. I have a good group of guys, and I don't want turnover. I dealt with turnover early on before I got the group of guys I've had, and now everybody's been with me for a couple years or more. I try to make sure that they're well compensated. It's more important for me to have them be there and be stable than it is for me to put more money in my pocket. And it's a question I always ask people when they, will complain about not finding people. And that goes across, all different industries. But, if you need people, they're out there. I think you can pay them to be out there, or pay enough that they'll be there. It's fascinating to me. I have a 23-year-old and a 30-year-old, so they're pretty young, and they're both do very good. One of them's kind of my general service tech and does alignments and brakes and some of the light work. My 30-year-old guy does all the heavy line stuff, and those guys want to work. They come to work every day. They show up regardless, and they get it done. So they're out there. I think it's just a matter of finding them, keeping them, and treating them right to retain them.
Now, if you have a young person that's interested in the industry and has a mechanical aptitude but really doesn't have the training, do you offer any kind of apprentice program? Would you take somebody in and kind of groom them and
right.
train them?
Put
him under the wing of David or something?
Right. So my youngest guy there has been with me now a little over a year and a half, I guess. And he had zero experience. So he and that's the best kind for me because then we can train him. move them up and
good habits,
not have any bad habits. Yeah. Yes, they have the habits we want them to have.
Well, that's great. That's good. That's good to know. Let me ask you this. How do you address unexpected additional repairs that may reveal themselves? What's the, because I imagine that can be kind of touchy. Everybody says, wow, you know.
Oh, in terms of like stuff we find while we're in there?
Yeah.
We just, you know, I always tell people when they come in, I said, look, you may, hopefully you'll like us. We're going to be honest to a fault, whether you like it or not. Because we want to fix the car right.
Yeah.
So we're going to tell you straight up what it is. This is what it's going to cost. And I'm not going to tell you unless you have to have it.
Right.
And once I establish that rapport with them, it is very easy. But it is difficult when you got somebody that's, you know, for instance, we had a job that was a deep enough dive into a EcoBoost Ford motor that was timing chains, and it kept snowballing a little bit. And they do. They kind of want to know when the bleeding's going to stop.
Of course.
And all I can do is call them and, you know, be honest with them and kind of hat in hand and say, hey, look, this is what we got to do to fix
right,
it.
Right.
These are your options. And allow the customer to be involved in the decision-making process is important.
And you guys don't always have a crystal ball. So, you know, you, you folks got to keep that in consideration.
Well,
listen,
well,
we're up against a break here, DJ. And you're listening to the All Four Seasons Home Show here with DJ Feast of Joe's Automotive. We're going to be back for the last segment. Don't go away. I heard DJ has a little special offer for you folks. We'll be right back.
This morning in North Carolina, wheels are spinning. Determination is winning. A passion is now a thriving business, and it shows no signs of slowing down. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one Clint Spiegel had with First Horizon Bank about starting a bike wheel manufacturing facility in Asheville. Now it's not just talk, it's rubber meets road. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Clint. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
So, Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon Background Screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.
This is the All Four Seasons Home Show on Extra 106.3.
Welcome back to the All Four Seasons Home Show with your sponsor, Dan Watkins. I'm Jim Niarchos. And if you are just joining us, you have been missing a lot of great information from DJ Feast of Joe's Automotive. I mean, I'm telling you, you need to check out. You need to go on our website, Extra 106.3 FM website, All Four Seasons Home Show. And listen to this show. You can listen to it anytime you want here in a couple days once we get it loaded up. We're also going to put it out on podcast on Apple, Google, and Spotify. It'll be out there all year because this is he's really been giving us a lot of good information. And will you come back later in the year, DJ? Again?
Absolutely. Okay, anytime you'd like. I appreciate the invite.
Well, it's nice to have you here. DJ, quick question. I know you do a lot of the imports, the Japanese, Korean cars, that kind of thing. And you do, of course, domestic. If we're talking about the import cars that you work on, is there a brand and or model, and also with the domestic is the second part of the question, that you have found to be superior as far as quality, dependability, et cetera?
Sure. Well, yeah, I mean, in terms of going to straight to the import, Toyota has been at the top for years, and they have done nothing to cheapen their product. They are fantastic. Smaller cars for them. The Corolla is one of the toughest little cars you'll ever get in, and it'll keep on going. The Toyota Camry is probably the lowest maintenance car that you can buy out there in terms of cost per year in maintenance. Their SUVs are very good. We service a lot of them. We don't have to fix a lot of them, if that makes sense.
Right.
Not a lot of major repairs, and when they do, they're far and few between. And that's what I would, you know, purchase in terms of that. You know, the domestics, the Dodges and the Fords and the Chevys and the GMCs, you know, they what I usually tell people when you're looking is try to go more of the, I say top of the line, one of the ones that they have a little bit more to them, that they sell a little bit more. Usually the R&D goes into those a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And their smaller kind of compact cars tend to have some big repairs, you know, and have some trouble, but they're cheap. And I get why people need them, and they get them from point A to point B.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a Chevy guy. But I have two Chevys and two Fords, so I'm a Ford guy too sometimes. My little fun car is a Ford, and it's a fast one, and I enjoy driving it. It just depends on the model. You know, I like to always tell people, call your mechanic, ask your mechanic that stuff. You know, I read an article this year, most reliable vehicle was Toyota, followed by Lexus, and actually third in line was BMW, which surprised me.
Yeah, that's surprising. Mercedes, I always hear people complaining about BMW repairs.
Right. Mercedes was always up there, and they were actually way down. But BMW, if you think about it, their sedans do pretty well. Mm-hmm. And they've been around a long time in some of their SUVs, and they stay on the road for quite a bit. So that's another one for people that have kind of the more want the more sleek European styling.
Right, right.
You know, I have a neighbor with a couple BMWs, and I've done some work on the side for those, and they're very solid cars. So those are some of the ones I like.
You know, I have a GMC Acadia, and I have been surprised. It's been great. It's
sure.
been very dependable.
And that's one of the ones they sell a lot of. That's, you know,
I didn't expect it to be, but
right. That's a flagship SUV for them, and that's a good thing. And that's what I mean by they usually put the right technology and R&D in those where they test them properly and they go. You know.
Well, I want to ask you a detailed invoice should always be given once the repairs are completed. Correct?
Absolutely. Parts, labor, part numbers. You should always know all that stuff.
And what about warranties on parts and service? There's always confusion about manufacturers, warranties, et cetera. You want to talk about warranties?
Right. So like I offer a 12-month, 12,000-mile warranty on all my parts. That is usually backed by the part house that I buy it from, whether it's the dealer or, you know, an O'Reilly's or a NAPA or any of those. And there's some other, you know, parts houses, but that's usually what most shops are going to do. Some offer a 2-year, 24,000, and that's fine. I think it's the most important thing, though, is the customer should be aware of what warranty's on there. The invoice should state it. It's usually in fine print at the bottom, you know, and difficult to read, but they should know what it is. But really, the onus is on the shop. The shop knows when it's under warranty, and if we did something and put something on and the part fails, which is usually the you know, if we get a car back for the same problem, it's because a part did fail. We take care of it, and it's easy. And occasionally I can, you know, get the parts house to go a little further on it, depending on what's going on.
Well, you know, DJ, with the technology, the cars have just changed so much, and the kind of training, the kind of equipment you guys have, it is not uncommon for sometimes, unfortunately, people to have a major repair, and sometimes their budget doesn't warrant taking care of that right away. And you folks have found a way to help the consumer. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So, and us and other shops too, I think are using. We found some alternative financing where they do some 100 days, same as cash and things like that. Now it's interesting because they never give you an interest rate. They always tell you it's a financing fee. So that kind of alleviates them from giving out a certain amount. But if you pay it off in those 100 days, it can be same as cash, and it's a good thing. And there's several of those different companies out there, and a lot of shops are doing that. So what I would say to the consumer is, you know, if you are stretching that budget or have an additional repair you weren't budgeting for, ask if there's any additional financing that they may offer. Now, I doubt any shop's going to finance it themselves, but if they have partnered with somebody and they can do that, the process takes about 4 minutes in my shop. It's very easy and seamless.
Now, I know this is subjective, but what is the average time in somebody getting their car back on the average repair from Joe's Automotive?
I would say ours is usually 2 to 3 days at the most. I don't have a tremendous amount of parking where I'm at. I'm in a really high traffic area, so that limits my amount of space, but we try to get them out as fast as possible. And you know, that's one of the things I would tell customers when they're driving past the shop and they're kind of seeing, they say, oh, this shop's always busy. You really look at those cars, make sure they're different cars every time you drive by, because that can happen where they sit. But, you know, 2 to 3 days is about right. There is same day repairs. We try to get brakes out the same day. You know, other things, oil changes, stuff like that, obviously people can wait on. we try to move as fast as possible. Sometimes the parts dictate us having to wait longer for ordering. If it's something that's not going to damage the car, a lot of times what we'll do is take a deposit from the customer to order the part, and then reschedule them in once the part gets in. If it's 5 or 6 days, that way they're not down without a car.
Right, right. Well, we're getting towards the end of our show, and I know that you said that you had a special offer for the All Four Seasons Home Show audience.
Sure. Yeah, I got two of them, actually. If you want us to repair a car and you call in or show up and say you heard me here on the All Four Seasons show, we'll give you free diagnostics. If you just want to call in and ask a question, even if you're at a different shop and just want to know some knowledge, happy to do that, too.
Well, I think free diagnostics is quite an offer, folks. I mean, that's awesome, DJ. Thank you so much. And how do people get in touch with you? Where? How can they find you?
Sure. You can Google Joe's Automotive Woodstock, Georgia, and you'll be able to find our website. We're all over the place. I spend a lot of money on that search engine optimization. Mm-hmm. www.joesautomotivewoodstock.com is our website. If you search us, you can find us. If you call, you'll get me. I'll be answering.
Right. And your address?
6957 Highway 92, and that's in Woodstock.
Right.
Right by the Bells Ferry 92 interchange.
And your days of operation and hours?
We're Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. We don't open weekends. We don't really get parts on the weekends
and stuff like that.
Right. So we're Monday through Friday, 8 to 5.
Well, thank you so much, DJ Feast, Joe's Automotive. Give him a try, folks. You'll never regret it. We thank you for tuning in to the All Four Seasons Home Show every Saturday morning at 9 with a different subject matter expert helping you to make a good consumer decision, save money, and not get ripped off. Have a great week.
This morning in North Carolina, wheels are spinning. Determination is winning. A passion is now a thriving business, and it shows no signs of slowing down. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one Clint Spiegel had with First Horizon Bank about starting a bike wheel manufacturing facility in Asheville. Now it's not just talk, it's rubber meets road. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Clint. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.